This episode of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 24th of June 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today I'm joined from Istanbul by Monocle's bureau chief in the city, Chris Lord. Today we'll be reviewing the best of Turkish television, including the latest popular drama series, Sparrow Palace, a crime saga about drug cartels, and a singing talent show whose on-screen tribulations have been more than matched by real-life off-screen drama. That's all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Chris. Great to have you with us here on the Arts Review. Let's start by talking about soap operas. Turks, well known for their love of that particular medium. Sparrow Palace is one of them. It's nearing its finale. Tell us a bit more about this one.
So yes, Sparrow Palace, or Serge Saray in Turkish, is a tale which is becoming a bit of a trope of Turkish TV at the moment. It's about a middle-aged woman living in Istanbul, a widow essentially. Her husband died recently in a car accident, and she's incredibly devoted to her children and living this sort of, you know, remembering her husband extremely fondly and so on and so forth. And then suddenly she starts to discover some betrayals that her husband was engaged in before his death, and that completely upends her life. Now, I mean, it is a kind of drama in a certain sense, but it's a fairly light drama in the sense that, you know, there is a certain sort of comedy bounce to it from time to time. But it is kind of this real mode of Turkish drama that's become very popular at the moment.
And Chris, tell us a bit about the stable that this comes from, maybe some of the characters involved, behind the camera or in front of it. What sort of does this fit with, as you said, some of the kind of traditional tropes of the medium?
Well, I mean, this is one of this new breed, as I say, this kind of extremely popular dramas where the last really few years, Turkey has upped its game extraordinarily when it comes to TV production. And something, you know, I think probably the one that's the most famous is Broken Pieces, which is also made by Endemol Turkey, who makes Sparrow Palace. And, you know, Broken Pieces was a massive hit, and a massive hit internationally. It was streamed to various different countries around the world. And I think what the Sparrow Palace has done is kind of followed in that line of very high production values, still quite a, you know, solid plot, a little bit of not a kind of melodrama, but also kind of using a bit of comedy to kind of even things out a little bit and make it that bit more accessible to other audiences. I mean, Endemol in Turkey is extremely powerful media company here. I mean, just, you know, in the last few weeks, you may have seen the news about Big Brother Turkey launching, which is for Turkey, that is really pushing a certain boundary here. And I think that their drama production is in a similar mode at the moment.
Well, let me just ask you more broadly about that, Chris, that point about, you know, pushing the envelope and about the sort of lengths that the media can go to, because we talk a lot about, you know, limits on media when it comes to, say, you know, journalism and news reporting. With TV, is it the same? Are people constantly wary? Is it a bit of a battle with the sort of censors almost? Or is there a bit more latitude?
I don't think it's so much a battle with censors, as it were. I mean, that has certainly been, you know, an issue in the past when it comes to things like freedom of press here in Turkey and so on and so forth. But when we look to things like the television and entertainment, essentially, I think what you're facing here in Turkey is an extremely, you know, varied society with very different cultural mores, whether you're on the east of the country, the west of the country, whether you even live on one side of Istanbul or the other side of Istanbul. And I think that, you know, a lot of these drama, you know, productions that are being made now, and in fact, not just one of the programs we'll talk about a little bit later, which is actually more of a kind of reality TV show, has had to face that reality of this extremely diverse population and the backlash that can happen when, you know, the TV that's being put out there, it disenfranchises one group and therefore takes things into their own hands. So I don't think it's so much a censorship thing. I think it's about making sure that these programs can speak to a broad audience and still, as I would say with Sparrow Palace, remain quite an intelligent program without becoming too broad, essentially.
Let's take a little listen to an extract from Sparrow Palace, see what the fuss is about. Here's a clip from Sparrow Palace.
Peki amcam o biliyor mu? O biliyor mu oğlu olduğumu?
Evet, biliyor. Rıfat öldükten sonra amcana söyledim senin onun oğlu olduğunu. Aslında
Uh, Now, Chris, we're hearing some of the clip from the show there. There has had some controversy, though, whether it's in terms of storylines, scenes. There's still a bit of sensitivity about maybe, you know, actors who are portraying their characters in too Western a way or this sort of thing. But that's not maybe what that's best known for, although it has had its occasional brushes.
That's absolutely true, Tom. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think essentially, you know, programs like this in Turkey, they're talking about something that's deeply enshrined in people's sense of normality here in Turkey, you know, that the family unit, essentially, that being upended by something that went on, you know, behind the scenes. I mean, it's extremely provocative here in Turkey. And I think, I mean, the acting and so on and so forth, I can't so much comment on, but I think specifically in terms of the content of these shows, I do think it is actually touching on something that is a little bit uncomfortable for audiences here.
That's Sparrow Palace. Let's move on, Chris, and talk about a crime series looking at drug cartels in the country. And interestingly, ABC is currently is remaking this for American audiences. Not the first time that's happened, as you've already alluded to some Turkish shows, but this is Sun. Tell us a bit more.
Yes, Sun, which means the end. The kind of drug element to it comes a little bit later on. But essentially, the core of this is following a similar idea, in a sense, to Sparrow Palace, which is a very happily married couple whereby, you know, they're extremely devoted to each other. Everything seems to be sort of marital bliss. And then at a certain point, an event happens, in this case, a plane crash. And as they're picking the pieces up, they discover, you know, the partner discovers, the other half discovers, that actually their partner wasn't quite as squeaky clean as it all seemed, and they were embroiled in certain things of betrayals and the illusions of perfection that they were giving off. So, you know, in a certain sense, it does kind of follow a little bit this Sparrow Palace trope. I think what's curious about this, as you mentioned, is this ABC remake, which is going to be screening in September on ABC in the US, and that's going to star Paula Patton. And I mean, this is an extraordinary moment for Turkish TV production, whereby, you know, a major network decides to remake one of its programs with some quite major stars in it. And really, you know, I think that's an extremely important moment for Turkish entertainment in general, really.
And Chris, it's interesting. We talk a lot here on Monocle 24, of course, about the success of the Nordic noir, the Scandi cinema, this sort of thing where, you know, one might say rather cynically, some, you know, Western executives who are lacking in a bit of imagination say, look, this is where we've got to look for everything. Do you think we could be on the cusp of that? And we'll see one after another of these successful Turkish shows being sort of appropriated and refashioned for the Western palate.
Well, you know, I mean, these Turkish shows have already absolutely broken the Latin American market. I mean, they flew, you know, really have become extremely popular. And those are just actually dubbins and subtitlings, you know what I mean? So the Latin America is extremely turned on to Turkish dramas. The Gulf is extremely turned on to Turkish dramas. I think what's important about this, and if you watch the Son or the End, if you watch that, you can see how Turkey's upped its game in the last few years. And they've clearly been watching these Nordic noirs and coming up with unusual ways to tell a story, finding twists within a plot, finding ways that you can really build an atmosphere of a gritty version of Turkey, which is far beyond, perhaps in some people's imagination, the melodrama of Turkish drama that existed in the past. So, I mean, whether we're going to be inundated with Turkish TV in the future and remakes of it, that really, you know, it remains to be seen, Tom. But I think that this is a good example of how, you know, Turkish television production has really upped its game in the last couple of years.
Well, let's hear a bit of this game upping in action. Here's an extract from Son. Let's take a listen.
Hadi.
Birkaç gün ofiste kalacağım. Sakın araba benim. Oraya falan gelmeye de kalkma. En azından birkaç gün görüşmeyelim.
Sonra?
Sonrası yok. Sonrası yok, bilmiyorum hani.
Ben ne yapacağım belli değil.
Hadi canım. Gerçekten mi?
Yapma.
Ne?
Yapma. Lütfen.
Ne?
Lütfen.
Hadi git yatalım.
Özür dilerim.
Niye?
Çünkü ben biliyorum ne yaptığımı.
Dramatic scenes of Son.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
Really sure what exactly is happening there, Chris, but it sounded dramatic, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's I think that's from the intro scene of the first actual episode of Son. I mean, that's which all begins in this kind of first person view through the eyes of this mysterious woman in this kind of, you know, locked away in this attic in Istanbul. And really, you know, she's been overwatched by some sort of dastardly Englishman, not really quite sure what he's up to at the beginning. But I mean, really, you know, you can get from that the pace of the whole program that really begins there at the start. So I think it's a very interesting program. So, I mean, it's been going for some time now, but I think this remake is big news for Turkish TV.
Role as a dastardly Englishman in Istanbul? That could be
that's,
you.
That's
could,
me,
could
Tom.
Be you, Chris, couldn't it?
Well, as soon as we start talking, that's where I'm off to.
Let's move on, Chris, and talk about, this Turkish singing talent show. We've seen these around the world, different versions and incarnations. This one, of course, particularly sort of tragic circumstances, and it's not in some sob story associated with some of the talent. It was a very real tragedy that beset one of the contestants. Just remind us about this.
So this is Sesi Çok Güzel, which is a kind of talent show or singing in the mode of something like a pop idol or something like that, which is extremely popular here in Turkey. But last month, one of the contestants, Mutlu Kaya, was tragically shot in the head in the east of the country, in Diyarbakır, which is in the southeast of Turkey, while she was actually practicing for the show. I mean, this is an extraordinarily sad story. I mean, fortunately, she's still alive. She's in extremely bad condition at the moment, but she is still alive. And really, I mean, we talked at the beginning of this, at the start of this discussion, Tom, about these kind of divergences in Turkey, the differences of opinion about things like entertainment and what's justified. I mean, still, there's not been anyone come forward or been caught for that attack. But I mean, for a singing competition, when people are getting shot, I mean, it's an extremely important moment, I think, in terms of these divisions that do still exist in Turkish society.
And Chris, I wonder, do these sorts of shows have real social power? Because we've seen in other countries the access to that ready audience, and people who've won them or featured prominently have gone on to be able to deliver their messages to the public. They've gone on to enjoy successes, not just in the realm of as performers, but in other realms as well. Is there a sense, and do you think maybe the authorities and others, perhaps particularly on the right, are aware of the popular impact that these kind of programs and performances can have?
I think so, yeah. But I think in this case particularly, it's not necessarily on an official level, it's been extremely noted. But I think for a lot of people here in Turkey, this all kind of happened in the run-up to the elections, which will happen this month, so this really kind of came at a time when the country was doing a little bit of soul searching about where it was going to go for the future, looking towards places like Diyarbakır, which is towards the Kurdish area of the country, and thinking about the next step forward for where politics was going to go. And I think for a lot of people, where suddenly, essentially a very kind of, we'll hear her music shortly, but I mean, this pop music, I mean, really for that to provoke that kind of a reaction, I think for a lot of people here in Turkey, certainly in the press here, it generated a lot of response where people, they really were very impassioned by this by what had happened.
Well, let's take a bit of a look back, because Sesi Çok Güzel has finished, I think, after that shooting. One can imagine how hard it was to return. Let's hear some of the show and hear some of the contestants in action. And that was Mutlu Kaya in action or on the show before. What do you think the legacy, Chris, will be? What do you think the continuing fallout to the shooting of Mutlu Kaya might be in terms of, more broadly in Turkey?
I mean, I suppose what I could say really is that beyond television, I mean, essentially, a lot of people are going to be looking at that city of Diyarbakır. I should say as well, this was the scene just at the weekend of the elections this month, where there was an attack on a pro HDP, a pro Kurdish party rally in the city of Diyarbakır. And I think, we're really getting to a certain point here in Turkey where, these divisions absolutely that exist, and this propensity towards violence in certain parts of the country, it's totally out of step with the image of Turkey that Turkey has internationally. So the legacy of her, the awful tragedy of what happened to Mutlu Kaya remains to be seen. I mean, as I say, it's on a lot of lips at the moment in terms of the news here and the press here. But I think that southeast of the country, looking at why that would have happened, and I think finding the perpetrators of that is going to be the story going forward, Tom.
Chris Lord in Istanbul, thanks very much for joining us. Fascinating insights and into the politics, the geopolitics, and also into the small screen as well. Chris, thanks for joining us here on the programme. That's been the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Our producer today was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll be talking about the week in books with Kathy Rensenbrink. Until then, it's goodbye from me. Thanks very much for listening.